Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 3rd chapter, Liberation from the Material Energy, verse 32. And this verse is spoken by Prabuddha to King Mimi. So we'll start with the synonyms. Quachit, sometimes. Rudanti, they cry. Achyuta, of the infallible Supreme Lord. Chintaya, by the thought. Quachit, sometimes. Asanti, they laugh. Nandanti, take great pleasure. Vedanti, speak. Alokika, acting amazingly. Nityanti, they dance. Gayanti, sing. Anushilayanti, and imitate. Ajam, the unborn. Bhavanti, they become. Tushnim, silent. Param, the supreme. Etya, obtaining. Nirvitaha, freed from distress. Quachit rudantya chitta chintaya quachit. Hisanti dishanti nandanti vadantya lokika. Nityanti gayanti anushilayanti ajam. Bhavanti tushnim paramecha nivrita. Quachit rudantya chitta chintaya quachit. Shanti nandanti vadantya lokika. Vidyanti gayanti anushila yantya jam. Bhavanti tushnim paramecha nivrita. Gentlemen.
Thank you.
Ladies, Vedanta Academy. Translation and commentary by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Having achieved love of Godhead, the devotees sometimes weep loudly, absorbed in thought of the infallible Lord. Sometimes they laugh, feel great pleasure, speak out loud to the Lord, dance or sing. Such devotees, having transcended material conditioned life, sometimes imitate the unborn Supreme by acting out His pastimes. And sometimes, achieving His personal audience, they remain peaceful and quiet. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained the symptoms of love of Godhead. Rudanti. The devotees cry, thinking, another day has passed, and still I could not obtain Krishna. Then what will I do? Where will I go? From whom shall I inquire? And who can possibly help me reach Krishna? So we have prayers from Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Narottam Das Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, prayers and songs that are in this mood. And then Hasanti, it is late at night, the sky is dark, and Krishna is determined to steal from the house of one of the elderly gopis. He's hiding underneath a tree in the corner of the courtyard belonging to one of the cowherd men. Although Krishna thinks that he is completely concealed, he suddenly hears a voice from one of the elderly members of the family. Who are you there? Who are you, I say? Thus, Krishna has been caught, and he begins to flee the courtyard. When this humorous scene is revealed to the devotee begins to laugh heartily. Nandanti. When Krishna actually reveals His transcendental form to the devotee, The devotee experiences the highest transcendental bliss. Okay, so there's many examples of this. The first one that came to my mind was when Lord Narayan appears before Narada Muni and also Dhruva Maharaj. And when Lord Chaitanya revealed his form as the Supreme Lord in the Mahaprakash. Anyone else can think of any other example when Krishna revealed his form to his devotee? Lord Chaitanya? Yes? Arjuna, when Krishna revealed what form? Mahavishnu and the whole Virat Rupa? The universal form? Yes. And then after he's seen the universal form, what did Arjuna ask for? I want to see you again, Krishna. Any other, can you think of any of the other forms of the Lord? Forms of the Lord? Who do we sing to every day in his fierce form? Lord Nrisimhadev, when he appeared to his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. Yes. Okay. So, one more. The different incarnations when they appear to their devotees. Yes. So, Vedanti, the devotee says to the Lord, "Oh Krishna, after so many days, I have finally achieved you." So the first one I thought of that is Princess Rukmini when Krishna kidnapped her. Anyone else have any other I can think of when? Of course, Lord Chaitanya sometimes said like that too, when after meeting Krishna, first the separation, then the meeting. So when all the devotee's senses are absorbed in Sri Krishna, the devotee has successfully transcended the material condition of life. This is indicated by the word alokika. Alokika, or the transcendental platform, is explained by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, verse 26, and we can all say it together. Mamchiyo vyavacharena bhakti yogin devate agunam samachityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, ajam harim anushilayanti talilam abhinad yanti. Anushila yanti indicates that out of extreme ecstasy, the devotees sometimes imitate or act out the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. This ecstatic symptom was manifest by the gopis in Vrindavan during Krishna's absence. So maybe you remember when we were recently reading in the 10th canto or from reading Krishna book, when Krishna disappeared the night of the full moon, right? How many of you saw the full moon last couple nights? So beautiful, right? And when Krishna disappeared from the gopis were in so much separation, they began to act out Krishna's pastimes. So one of them, she pretended to be Putana, and the other one pretended to be baby Krishna and suck her breast. And another one pretended to be baby Krishna laying down, and the other one pretended to be the cart demon, and the gopi kicked her feet to kill the cart demon. And then, what were some of the other pastimes they acted out? Yes. Trinavarta, one of the gopis lay down, or was playing on the ground like baby Krishna, and the other picked up child Krishna into the air, swirling around, Trinavarta demon. And Govardhan Hill, what did Krishna do? What did the gopis do? Put his cloth on his hand and pretended to raise the hill and told all the devotees, come on under the hill, I'll protect you. Yes? Bakasura. Yes, one of the gopis pretended to be Bakasura and the other one pretended to be Krishna. Agasura, yes. Columbusura. Yeah, they pretended. One of them said, "I'm Balaram, I'm Krishna." So the different gopis took turns riding on their shoulders and sporting, wrestling and killing Brahmasura and Kaliya. Did we say Kaliya? Yeah, Kaliya. Keshi demon. Yes. So like this, they were all busy. Do you do this at school or home sometimes? Do you act out Krishna's pastimes with your friends? Sometimes your dramas at school? So this is bona fide devotional service, to imitate Krishna's pastimes. So in verse 21 of this chapter, it is stated that one who has understood that there is no happiness either on earth or in material heaven must surrender at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jivyasu shaya uttamam. The following verses gave many detailed instructions regarding the activities of a bona fide disciple. Now this verse is describing the mature fruit of devotional service, namely pure love of Godhead. Everyone has the opportunity to come to this platform of transcendental bliss by taking the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna's representative on his head. One should give up the mentality of envy and false prestige and humbly take shelter of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual master is to be considered the incarnation of the Lord's mercy. There is absolutely no doubt that a sincere soul who serves a bona fide spiritual master will achieve the highest perfection of life, Shreya Uttamam. He will enjoy eternal bliss and knowledge in the personal abode of the Lord. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanshakalpa Trudyascha Kripa Sindhurya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So this is very exalted subject matter. The symptoms of ecstatic love that are manifest in the minds and bodies and hearts of Krishna's pure devotees. So I'm not going to pretend to be able to explain these, but I found some amazing stories and explanations by Krishna's pure devotees, Srila Rupa Goswami, and other speakers of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada. So do you want to hear those? Okay. So it was interesting. So at the end of the purport, that last chapter, the last verses when we were hearing about that, for if we want to understand this, we have to take shelter the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Why? Can anyone tell me why? It can be an adult too. Jigyasu Shrey Uttamam. Because someone who's seen the truth. If I don't know Krishna, how am I going to know how to serve Krishna? If I'm not seeing Krishna, how am I going to manifest ecstatic symptoms in my body and mind by seeing him? So by taking shelter of those who have seen the truth, who know Krishna, then we can begin to understand. And then by serving these great souls, our heart and our mind become purified so that we can enter into this exalted devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami describes in the Nectar of Devotion, there's eight symptoms of existential ecstatic love: becoming stunned, perspiring, standing of the hairs on the body, faltering of the voice, trembling of the body, changing of bodily colors, shedding of tears, and devastation. And the scientific explanation of these eight symptoms is described as follows. When the vital force of life is in contact with the earth, one is stunned. When the same force comes into contact with water, there's shedding of tears. When the same force comes into contact with fire, there's perspiration. When this force comes into contact with the sky, there's complete devastation. And when that force comes into contact with the air, there's trembling, failing of the voice, and standing of the hairs of the body on the body. So Krishna is the object of love, and those things that awaken remembrance of Krishna are called Udipana. And so both Krishna's bodily features and his qualities and his activities, all of these can awaken this love. And it's even described that the way Krishna's hair is arranged can awaken his devotee's love. And then other things as well, Krishna's smile, his fragrance, his flute, his bugle, his ankle bells, his conch shell, the marks on his lotus feet, his place of residence, his favorite plant. Who's his favorite plant? Okay. His devotees, and the observance of fasts and vows that are connected to his devotion. So next time there's a fast day, for those of you who are old enough to fast, you can think, wow, for some devotees, Krishna's pure devotees, this actually awakens their love of God. Fasting, gee, that doesn't usually happen to me, but nice to remember that, right? So one of Krishna's friends told him, "My dear Mukunda, just after observing a bluish cloud in the sky, the lotus-eyed Radharani immediately began to remember you. And simply by observing this cloud, she desired your association." So this is an example of Krishna's bodily complexion invoking remembrance and love and ecstatic symptoms. So there's a lot of devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in Nectar of Devotion that are also glorified in this way. So we know the story of King Ambarish. So when King Ambarish was put into difficulty by Durvasa Muni, he didn't become angry or frustrated or impatient. Actually, what he did was he closed his eyes and he meditated on the Lord's on the Lord within his heart, and immediately tears began to flow from his eyes and his body started quivering, and within his mind he entered samadhi. So again, something to hear and chant about and remember when we feel disturbed by something, like remember King Ambarish, what he did when there was great cause for disturbance, and also Prahlad Maharaj. Okay, it's kind of hard for us to understand. I mean, if somebody even chastises us, we might get irritated or even angry. But Prahlad Maharaj, his father, was trying to first chastise him, and when that didn't work, trying to kill him. And his father had very powerful demons to try to kill his, to kill him, right? So, I mean, think about our difficulties. You know, I stubbed my toe the other day really bad, maybe broke it, and I was like, oh, but imagine being put under the foot of a giant elephant to be stampeded, right? To be crushed, or to be thrown off a cliff, or to put in a pot of boiling oil, right? And all of the different, and you all know, all the different very difficult circumstances Prahlad was put under, not once did he forget his Lord. Every time, he actually just went deep within his mind and heart, and his distress was he would see Krishna and then Krishna would disappear from him, and that was his distress, not the fire, not the snakes, not the boiling oil. So in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada was describing how the same hand that blessed Prahlad, the same lotus hand, and when the Lord placed his hand on Prahlad's head, all the symptoms of ecstasy manifest in Prahlad's body and mind immediately. And that same lotus hand, those nails, had just killed his demoniac father, Hiranyakashipu. So the Lord, both with his nails and then with his palm, is blessing and he's chastising. And it's described that Prahlad Maharaj, his symptoms of ecstatic love are what influenced his classmates to take up Krishna consciousness. When they saw his love for the Lord, that's how they became inspired And remember the story of the Brahmana. This was in Chaitanya Lila. The Brahmana who could not read. He didn't get to go to your school and learn to read at a young age. So when he was a full-grown man, but he could not read, and yet every day he was attempting to read the Bhagavad Gita on the order of his spiritual master. And when he would see the picture of Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot, and when he would meditate on the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, the ecstatic symptoms manifest in his body and mind. And Lord Chaitanya noted this, and he, being very pleased by this Brahmin's devotion, not his scholarship, but his devotion. And Lord Chaitanya gave him as an example to his other devotees that this is what pleases the Lord, is bhakti. And then I bet one of you knows the story of Daruka. So Daruka is Krishna's eternal servant in Dwarka Dham, and he's Krishna's dedicated chariot driver. But one of his other services is fanning the Lord with a chamara whisk. Right? Do some of you have a chamara whisk at home or ever fan Prabhupada with a chamara? So he was fanning Lord Krishna, and the symptoms of ecstatic love began to manifest in his body, and he became disturbed. Don't interrupt my service. So he checked those symptoms of love, and or the bodily symptoms, he stopped them so that they wouldn't interfere with his service, which he considered to be much more important than just relishing that pleasure himself. And then there's the story of Akrura, right? Another one of Krishna's eternal servants and uncles in Dwarka. So Akrura was sent by who to go get Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan? King Kamsa, right, sent Akrura. And before I tell you that, so the symbols on the lotus feet of the Lord, they are worshipped by all the demigods and all the other great personalities throughout the three worlds. So when Akrura was coming to Vrindavan, he could see those marks of the Lord's lotus feet in the sand, right? Vrindavan is Chintamani, and Krishna's Vrindavan's glorified because the marks of Krishna's lotus feet are there. And when Akrura saw Krishna's lotus footprints, what did he do? Who knows? Yes? Right. He immediately got down off the chariot and he offered obeisances, put that dust on his head, and then he rolled around. Now, I'll tell you a funny story. The first time I went to India, I went to Mayapur before Vrindavan. But Mayapur is not different than Vrindavan Dham, right? So it had been a really, really long plane ride and then a really, really long bus ride. And finally got to Mayapur, got off the bus. First thing, offered obeisances, and some of us started rolling around in the dirt, in the dust. And one of the devotees came over. He said, no, 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 don't do that. And we're like, what do you mean don't do that? We've been reading this in Krishna book for years. What do you mean don't do it? He said, this is where the animals come to pass urine and stool. Go over there. So we're like, oh. But even the animals who live in the Dham are Krishna's devotees, so no loss, right? And another one of Krishna's devotees, Bali Maharaj. Now, Bali Maharaj was the king of the demons, but we also know he's the grandson of who? Prahlad Maharaj, right. And he, so when the Lord came before him as, who knows which Lord? I'm hearing this. You want to, someone raise your hand? Do you want it? Yes. Yes. Vamanadeva, yes. So, when Lord Vamanadeva came before Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj was completely enchanted by his beauty, right? And he offered him anything he wanted, anything. And then later when Vamanadeva chastised him, this is the beautiful prayer that Bali Maharaj offered the Lord. He said, my dear Lord, you have simultaneously punished me and showed me your causeless mercy. My conclusion is that when I have taken shelter of your lotus feet, I shall never be disturbed in any condition of life. Whether you give me the opportunity to enjoy all the yogic perfections, or you put me into the most abominable condition of hellish life, I shall never be disturbed. So even while he was being chastised by Lord Vamanadev, he was experiencing ecstatic love of God. So, and then the gopis talk about Mother Earth, who we know as Goddess Bhumi, and how, this is such a beautiful verse, if you remember it from the 10th canto. Oh, Mother Earth, what austerity did you perform to attain the touch of Lord Keshava's lotus feet, which has brought you great joy, that your bodily hairs are standing on end. You appear very beautiful in this condition. Was it during the Lord's current appearance that you acquired this ecstatic symptoms? So when Krishna came personally? Or was it perhaps much earlier when he stepped upon you in his form of the dwarf, Vamanadev? Or even earlier when he embraced you in his form of the boar, Varahadev? So it's described when Mother Earth is exhibiting ecstatic symptoms, what are the hairs on her body? Anyone know? The grass, specifically the trees. You've been reading a lot or hearing a lot. You're doing great. Okay. So now Prabhupada cautions us not that we should imitate these great devotees of the Lord and, oh yes, last night I was with Krishna. I am seeing Krishna everywhere. Not that we should imitate like that. That's called sahajya, one who pretends to be more advanced than one is. But that actually the mood that Lord Chaitanya taught us and the six Goswamis taught us and Srila Prabhupada is actually the mood of separation from Krishna. So we have that one verse that Lord Chaitanya, and if you know it, go ahead and say it along with me. Yuga yitam nimishena chakshusha pravishayitam shunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda verhename. So in separation from Govinda, one's thinking one moment is like 12 years or more. Have you ever been in a situation where you're like really impatient and like you're watching the clock or waiting for something or someone and it's taking a really long time? You ever had that experience? So did you ever think one moment was like 12 years? Really? Wow, I don't know if it's ever been that long for me, but well, I guess you guys are younger, so it feels like that, huh? Okay. But you're not even 12 years old. Okay. You guys are 12 years old. Okay. But even if you're not 12 years old, it can feel like 12 years or more? Maybe? Okay, but the younger kids are gone, so we'll have to ask them next time. So now, without seeing Govinda, for one who has their love for Krishna awakened, there's nothing else in this world. The world is like vacant. And now, I think you know this, the example of the gopis, that they are cursing the creator. Who's the creator? Brahma. And they're cursing him. Why? Go ahead. Right, that he made these eyelids that blink, and every time they blink, that fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a second, they're not seeing Krishna. Like, and so they actually said, the creator does not know the art of creating, right? Why he has created this twinkling of eyes. In one place, Srila Prabhupada describes it as twinkling instead of blinking, but this twinkling of the eyes, so that it is disturbing us from seeing Krishna. So there's one really beautiful letter from Srila Prabhupada to Arundhati. And this letter Prabhupada wrote in 1969. She had written to Prabhupada some questions, and specifically also about the symptoms of love of God. Do you want to hear that letter? It's just a paragraph. Okay. Thank you all for being such attentive students. Have a wonderful day at school. So this is Srila Prabhupada's words. You should always be very sound in knowledge about Krishna consciousness. But as you are very much attached to chanting, there will be no difficulty for you. Regarding your last question about the ecstatic symptoms of chanting Hare Krishna, you should know that the Hare Krishna mantra has an equal effect upon all devotees, just like the sunshine has an equal effect on everyone. But when it is covered, the sunshine has a different effect. Similarly, the influence of the Hare Krishna mantra becomes manifest when one is no longer covered by the 10 offenses to chanting. The more we become free from the 10 offenses, the more the effect of chanting becomes manifest through us. Everyone can become a great devotee, being freed from the offenses 100% simply by one's determination and effort. So here we have Srila Prabhupada's instruction and his blessings that we can become free 100% from our offenses, from chanting. And as soon as we're free, just like the sunshine that's been covered by clouds and the clouds are now gone, that the clouds of our offenses can disappear and we can also experience love for Krishna, which is the goal of our devotional service and the goal of our chanting. So I'm going to stop there, and if there's any questions or comments or additions, look forward to hearing from you.
Ask that question anyway. So in the beginning of the class you encourage that's bona fide to imitate those pastimes of Krishna, Balaram, childhood life. And Mayavadis also, they say they want to become supreme and we criticize. I mean, I heard the answer, but I want to hear from you also.
Thank you. Actually, as soon as I said the word imitate, I thought, whoa, that wasn't the right word. Because in my level of devotional service, the proper word would be to hear and discuss and meditate upon and think about and share and enact in dramas. Not the word imitate. Because the word imitate, although Prabhupada uses it in the 10th canto and in specifically the Krishna book in relation to the gopis, they are already on the platform of pure devotional service and for Srimati Radharani, the highest level of Mahabhav. So for them to imitate, there's no fault. It's actually glorious. So thank you for pointing that out. It's not that we want to imitate even the children, but rather we want to reenact, we want in a drama, we want to hear and chant about, remind each other of. So, because the word imitate can mean more than that. It can mean pretending that one is Krishna, pretending that one has achieved these exalted stages of pure love of God. And there's so many places in Nectar Devotion, especially Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati caution about that line that of becoming sahajya and falsely pretending to be on these exalted levels of devotional service. So thank you, I appreciate it.
You know, in teachings of Lord Chaitanya Prabhupada says, Sadananda Saraswati, follower of Shankaracharya, is more dangerous than Shankaracharya because he draw a lot of bad conclusion more than Shankaracharya. He quotes that, see why Vaishnavas are criticizing us. We see the gopis are trying to be acting like Krishna, so we want to be God. Why they are like against us? That was like a very funny joke of long time now.
Of course, we also have to see that the gopis, all of their attention, all of their affection was exclusively for Krishna. So it's not that when, oh, Krishna's not here, so let me choose another paramour and enact Rasa Leela. So those who are imitating Rasa Leela, we see this in Raj and other places, they are not Krishna and they're pretending to be. So it's not that the gopis then went looking for some pretend Krishna. Their whole, you know, without Krishna, the world is vacant. So actually there was one other really beautiful, I just had seen what time it was, so I stopped, but for those of you who want to hear this, it's another couple minutes, but I remember myself as a young devotee, the first couple times reading Nectar of Devotion, just like really being perplexed by these descriptions of the ecstatic symptoms of love of God. Like, it didn't sound like awesome. You know, you read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the limbs of his body are elongated and he's unconscious and or drowning in the ocean. Or like, it didn't sound like, it didn't fit in my brain. But when I was reading this in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Srimati Radharani's, it's actually described as her ornaments, these symptoms of love of God beautify her and they attract Krishna to her. Her beauty is more and more enhanced, being decorated with the red kumkum of beauty itself and the blackish musk of conjugal love. Thus her body is decorated with different colors. Her ornaments embody the natural symptoms of ecstasy, trembling, tears, jubilation, stunning, perspiration, faltering of the voice, bodily redness, madness, and dullness. In this way, her entire body is bedecked with these 9 different jewels. Over and above this, the beauty of her body is enhanced by her transcendental qualities, which constitute the flower garland hanging on her body. The ecstasy of love for Krishna is known as dhira and adhira, sober and restless. Such ecstasy constitutes the covering of Srimati Radharani's body, and it is adorned by camphor. When Srimati Radharani's body manifests the ornaments of many ecstatic symptoms, the ocean of Krishna's happiness immediately displays transcendental waves. Yeah.
When I was saying last night, Krishna Guru was illustrating him. We come from a moment to the second world.
And it's funny that one of the 8 astasaptic symptoms is crying, and you read that from the vital air carries the soul, comes in contact with the water, and then shed tears. But here on Rastakam, Krishna was trying to cry, because Sanatana Goswami Patra says that one of the biggest power the children has, that they can neutralize anger of mother or any elderly by crying. And Krishna did that.
All the mothers are nodding, yes, yes. Of course, every time we always say, I'm not going to be fooled, and yes again.
I mean, there's so many pastimes even given that Krishna, like Mother Yashoda was, Krishna was wondering to Mother Yashoda, is she so much interested of seeing me clean dress, or she's interested of me? Because she's so angry that every time she put on a new dress, he goes outside and play with dirt, and within a few moments he comes back with completely dirty, and then she has to again clean it and put on a new dress. So finally she said, no more today, we have so many time changed. So he goes out and they started playing, and then Sridham comes. And he says, let's make the universes. Let's see who can make universes. So Krishna is trying, all the boys trying. Then they had a competition match, and then Krishna did not win. But Sridham says, you don't know how to create. He's telling to Krishna, and then Krishna says, you don't know how to create. So they moved the sand. It was made of sand, some kind of castle or universe they had to make. Then Krishna broke Sridham's castle. Then Sridham went to the nearby little dirty water plug and took the whole dirt mud and put it on his head. He said, this is gift for you, because and his pant and again completely dirty. Now he's thinking, Mother Yashoda already gave me warning, no more today. I did so many times. And he knew the truth. He started pretending, crying and crying and crying. He grabbed the sari of Mother Yashoda and so much cried, Mother Yashoda forgot her anger. Again, so Krishna Sarupu was making a point that yesterday that when seeing the stick, how Krishna was really like crying. It's a different cry, many, but Krishna also pretends sometimes to cry.
And even our earthly children, sometimes they also pretend to cry. Because they learn very young that this works for the mother and others too, other adults. But when you were saying that, I was also thinking of how mischievous Nimai was and how every time when he would cry, Mother Sachi just, no, don't cry, whatever you want. Read in Chaitanya Bhagavat, especially Chaitanya Mangala, some of his outrageous pastimes. I think we'll end there. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.